Being a new year, I thought I'd address the word new. Just seemed like it flowed, I guess you could say. New year, word new. The first thing that jumps out in my mind relative to new in the Bible, and there's a few things that do, but the thing that takes center stage with me when I think about new is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So let's start there. And we're going to just kind of run over these verses, and it'll be the core of the message this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writing to the Corinthians here, in the thought of something being new here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh," verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And that's what jumped out at me. The new part, the new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There it is again. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, there's so much in these few passages of Scripture I read that if I just did messages on them, it would go for months. But I just wanted to concentrate on the newness there that he talked about. The new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new creature there. You know, it's interesting to note, after New Year's comes about, everybody makes resolutions. You know, I've never been one to do that. And I'm not bragging about it. I just have never been one to do that, simply for the fact that it tends to have a excitable stage at the beginning, and then it passes on out and it's all said and done. My thought is, you don't have to make new resolutions. Just keep the old ones you made. You know, at one time they were new, okay? So just hang on to those and go back and revisit what you said 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago and try to put those back on. So anyhow, as far as something new here, Paul talks about old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, what he says in verse 16 is pretty impressive. He says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." You know, it's interesting to note that Jesus Christ maintained a ministry. He came into this world, and all of this is recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he was baptized of John, which began his ministry. And so he carried it out to his death. Well, I know then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I had the ministry of Christ after the flesh. That's when the Word became flesh and all that in John chapter 1. So he carried out a ministry in the flesh. Well, there are some Corinthians at that time that apparently had known Christ after the flesh and the ministry he had here. And what Paul writes there is just so profound at that time by saying, "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And the world can't get over that. They can't get past that verse and the truth of that verse. Right now, I guarantee you there are churches all around this country that are concentrating on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the ministry of Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I was going through the God channels, and I'd watch one for a little while, change it, watch another one. Well, I spent some time on this. I hadn't done it in quite some time. And all of them that I watch, except the last guy, preach messages out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing if it's preached correctly. If it's put in the context of rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, Paul came along and said, "Hey, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." In other words, the ministry that Jesus Christ had is something that we don't focus in on, we don't follow, we don't look after. And that shocks people. People cannot understand, how can you be a preacher and say something like that? Well, the red letters are right there. Because Paul was given mysteries and revelation to those mysteries that Jesus Christ never preached. And let me tell you something, folks. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature means creation. That's why it's so amazing. It means creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you can search this out. Either believe me here and be done with it, or you can go search it out, which I encourage you to do. The word creature, in the context as it is right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that new creature, that is not in any other place in your Bible. Now, the word creature is in other places, you know, preached to every creature. But as far as what a new creature is, it's nowhere else in your Bible but in Paul's writing. And that's impressive. Because if you know the new creature, it just shows God's grace and what He's done for us. It's all about what God has done for us, not what we do for Him. I mean, sometimes, you know, man gets a little uppity thinking that, you know, I'm going to perform for God and it's just going to impress Him so much. Well, folks, there's nothing that impressed God about us. No man has ever come into this world and impressed God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only through Him that we can receive of God the things of God. And being a new creature is a new creation that God made in Christ Jesus. And folks, when God made that creature in Christ Jesus, that creature is absolutely perfect. And the reason why He did it is because the devil has corrupted everything God has ever done. Everything. God never created anything with a fault. God never created anything with a problem. God never created anything that wasn't worth His workmanship. In other words, as they say, He don't create junk. It was all good. It was all pure. You go back there and read His creation. We're going to go back a little bit later. But you read, He created the heavens and the earth and it was good. The plants, it was good. Everything was good till He got to man and He never said it was good. You go back there and check it. God created everything for His own purpose. Well, this is a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're born after the similitude of Adam. We have Adam's sin in us. That's why we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. But what He has worked in Christ Jesus is a new creature that's absolutely perfect. Now, we've gone over for, I don't know, several weeks. And in revisiting this just a second, if you've come to church for any length of time, you know that I have shown repeatedly that this ministry not only is not for today, but you can't live it. You can't keep it. If someone thinks they can keep this ministry, what they're telling me without saying these words is, I don't really know all that's written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because if you did, you would see, I can't keep that. I can't do that. It's a ministry where God has shut it down for today. We can go back and revisit it. We can go back and read about it and see the operation of it. But it's not a ministry that He is honoring today. The ministry that He honors today is that of the Apostle Paul. That's the only effective ministry that God is honoring today. And He has created new creatures in Christ Jesus. So as we covered the time span, we look way back in the Old Testament. We look through the ministry of Jesus Christ after His crucifixion, His burial, His resurrection. Peter and the apostles began preaching here. Nothing new. Same old message that the Lord was teaching back here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized in His name. Nothing new. They're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for that time out here where there'd be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ where he'll return down. And folks, when he returns, guess what he's going to do for Israel? He's going to forgive their sins. I will remember your sins no more. There's another new. That is the second newness or new, the word new that came to my mind when I thought about this message. The first one was the new creature. The second one was the new covenant in Jeremiah 31. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the old covenant back in the days when I brought them by hand and led them out of Egypt, my covenant which they break. But I'll make a new covenant, and this shall be my covenant I'll make with them. I will forgive their sins and remember their iniquities no more. He's going to wash them clean, folks. Matter of fact, it's called a great cleansing when he opens up the fountain and he cleanses those people as they go into the kingdom, and sins will be done away with. It's called the Great Day of Atonement. But in between the ministry of Peter and the return of the Lord, we've got something set right in there, and it's a dispensation of the grace of God. And the good news about this grace, and Donald read it today, that you're saved by God's grace, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, people get on us about saying, well, y'all believe that grace only appears in this day and age. No, we don't. No. No one at this church or any of the other grace churches around this country believes grace only appears in the dispensation of the grace of God. I believe grace appears throughout the time of this Bible. I mean, come on, folks, you go to Genesis 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We didn't invent the wheel of grace. It's not unique here, but I tell you what is unique about this grace. There's no works involved for salvation. That's the difference. Everybody at all other times that experienced God's grace had to do something to get God's grace. We don't do anything. How do you get qualified for it? Be who you are, a sinner. Religion says you can straighten yourself up. Religion says you can clean yourself up. That's not what God says. God says there are none that doeth good. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God had to map out a plan, number one, to cleanse this group. And by Ephesians chapter 5, he says he took the church and he cleansed it and washed it by his word. These are looking for the cleansing out here. These that were in this ministry, in Peter's ministry, they're looking for the return of the Lord. Peter said it in Acts 3:19. He shall send Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things. And then he shall send him forth, and he will blot out our sins. They're looking for a great cleansing, not us. Why? Because we already have it in Christ Jesus. I'm not waiting for the Lord to come back before I'm cleansed. Folks, if I don't have it now, I'll never get it. I was like, when did this train hit the fork in the track? I'm like, just chugging along. We need the grace of God. Amen. I'm the engine and my train has been detached. You know, it's one of those cartoon deals. Here goes the engine and there goes the rest of the train. It's like, wait a minute. No, folks, it's by his grace that we are what we are and we have what we have. Donald, you should have been here for Sunday school. Donald hit on some verses about the riches of God's grace. I mean, can you imagine God Almighty taking a bunch like ourselves and taking all of his riches? And when you think riches, I know some of us are thinking the diamonds and all the gold. Yeah, that's riches of this world. But how about his mercy, his kindness, his grace, his blessings, his inheritance? That's riches too. And he's taken all of those riches and given them to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what do I have to do to get it? Nothing. What do I have to do to earn it? Nothing. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again. That's why this grace is so unique. You don't do any works to get it. It's by his grace we're saved. Not of ourselves, not of works. Lest any man should boast, and we're a boastful bunch. You know, we want people to live to our standards. Well, folks, if you live to your standards, go in Paul's writings and check out your standards. Let me tell you, I've probably, since I've been preaching, learned more in Obed's messages than when I sat out there listening to him preach. He used to do, you guys that go long time back, long time now. I let you drop it, huh? Who are in the ancient history books. Y'all know this. He'd do this often. When I got one finger, Bonnie's already doing it. Quit! She jumps on it before I do it. When I got one finger pointed at you, I got three coming back at me. All right? So if God gave us what we deserve, it's damnation. So how can you, with one finger, rise above the three that's coming back at you? Huh? You can't do it. All you have to do is have a little introspect of yourself. Go to the mirror and just be honest with yourself. We're not very honest with ourselves, you know that? I mean, we put this thing on called salvation. And buddy, get out of my way. Why, you don't know who you're dealing with. Step aside. Well, you ain't got nothing of God that wasn't given to you. You understand? You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You weren't good enough to get it. You only were given it to you by His grace. By His grace. And nothing has changed since you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trusted Him in 1980. I haven't improved one bit. You understand? Now listen to the context of it. If you took Christ out of my life, do you think I'd still be worthy of heaven? Think about it. Take Christ out of your life. Take the gospel out. Just pull it aside and tell me what would get you into heaven. Absolutely nothing. Therefore, I haven't improved not one iota before God Almighty. I understand where that seed dropped and I was planted. That's what I'm going to be. It's not a good sign. It's not a good thing. Therefore, we go to the book and we read about us in Christ Jesus. And it's a whole new perspective. I see. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature, a new creation? You know, people talk about God doing the creation there in Genesis. 6 days He created everything. 7th day He rested. Well, He didn't finish creating after 6 days. Do you understand that? He did not create everything in 6 days. There was another day when He created a body of believers that He calls a new creature. That is a new creation. You realize everybody that is in this time frame that is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ is a new creation of God Almighty. He took the old man, and Donald, you read it. This verse blows my mind in Romans there. He destroyed the old man. He didn't injure it. He didn't put it behind bars and gel it up and lock it up. He didn't put it on probation. He didn't put it through a 12-step ministry. He destroyed it because that's all it's worth. And if you think you're better than that, you better get in the book and read about yourself. You understand? There are none that doeth good. No, not one. None of us are any good. We're not any good before salvation. We're not any good after salvation. The only thing good about us is Christ Jesus. Speak highly of yourself without Christ Jesus. Anybody in here? Tell me one good thing about you. Come on. Without Christ Jesus. One good thing. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. Oh! So you don't do this and you don't do that. Boy, I've danced to this song quite a bit. I'm sorry I said dancing in front of you at church. I've heard them say it. Oh, I don't do this and I don't. And what podium are you getting up on? Remove Christ out of your life and tell me how that's any merit for your salvation. Is it? Is it?
No.
Folks, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get your eyes upon the only thing that counts in this world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're knocked down and you're looking up and the devil's foot is plastered upon your face, the only thing you can look at is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you think you're up and, oh, great day, boy, you bound out of bed, it's going to be a wonderful day. The only thing you can look up to is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're always looking up. A new creature. in Christ Jesus. You know, so many of us that are saved treat the Lord like He's a trinket, a figurine on the shelf at our home. He's convenient for Sunday at about 11 o'clock. Some of you, 11:15. It's all right. What? We're in different time zones. We take Him off the shelf right by this ladybug. 11 o'clock, we bring our little Jesus figurine to church with us. We go, oh, hang on, Jesus. You got a little dust there. So we dust Him off to about 12, maybe 10 after today. We get home, we go, here, Jesus. Here's my Jesus. And He sits there all week gathering dust. It's an illustration, and there's a little sarcasm there, but the truth of the matter is, folks, we don't utilize the Lord like we ought to utilize Him. Okay, that's two or three. All right. We're going to stay here until 5 o'clock if we got some. So if you want lunch, just do... There you go. Yeah, preach it. I'm trying. This new creature. Look what he needs in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Some of you might even enjoy coming to church for a change. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Did I say that? What does this new creature need? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. That's interesting. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ into the doctrine which is according to godliness. He lays it out there. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, even evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the religious preachers go right back here, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's strange is, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ. You want to follow Christ? You follow Paul. So what are the words? The words are Paul's words that were given to him by the Lord. That is the wholesome words. Do you know the word wholesome means to be sound, healthy, or true doctrine? You know what the new creature needs? He needs wholesome word. You know what he needs? He needs health food. We got a bad diet going on, folks. The world is giving us junk food. What is that? And somebody's going to get offended here. It's words outside of Paul's writings. You can't profit from the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They can't add anything to you. The only words that can be strong for you are the words that the Apostle Paul wrote down. Oh, you're leaving my Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm going to the Jesus for you today. Wholesome words. It's used in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Matter of fact, it's only the word wholesome used twice in your Bible. There in Timothy and over in Proverbs. You get to Proverbs. Go to 15, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verse 3. He says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so people say, and it's tradition, that the Lord can't look upon sin. I've never held that position. I don't believe it, and I don't teach it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I mean, He saw the people during the days of Noah decide to kill them. He saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Burned them up. I mean, He can look upon sin. Come on. That's all He's had to look upon since He created man. I mean, come on now. Here we go. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue, a healthy tongue, is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And I won't go into it, but the breach in the spirit has to do with death. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You realize with the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul had, can bring life to anyone in this world. Doesn't matter what sin condition they're in, because we're all in a bad sin condition. They just have to believe in the wholesome words. What is that? Christ died for our sin. He was made sin for us. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. That is the good news for us today and the fact that we can't do any works for God to be saved. That's God's grace. Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross, was buried, God raised him up, and by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got life. I mean, it's just that simple. Too simple? Nah. Just what we needed. Just what we needed. If you look back, let's go back and revisit 2 Corinthians 5. He says, all right, we said verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Now, when do you use the phrase passed away? In death, someone passed away. Well, this old man has passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know that word reconciliation means to restore to favor. Obviously, there was a point in time when man fell out of favor with God. Let's check that out and check the contrast in these things. Go to Genesis 2. Look back all the way to Genesis 2. And we're not going to do a lot of reading here, but we're just going to cover this real quick. In Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So that sounds like pretty good fellowship there. God created man, takes him, puts him in the garden to dress and keep it. Now go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, look in verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him, that's Adam, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, the fellowship was there at the start with Adam. He placed him into the garden. Then we go to chapter 3, and he's driving him out. Well, you know what came between God and man in that chapter 2 and 3? This thing right here, sin. In other words, the favor that God and man had here was now gone. You see, the thing between God and man has been sin. But the good news today is that Jesus Christ removed that which is between God and man so that God could reconcile, restore to favor mankind and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If I got up here and preached to you that a particular sin could separate you from God and you could go to hell, I would not have a ministry of reconciliation. I would not be restoring you to favor. If I told you that you could walk down the aisle, repent of your sins, confess your sins, get baptized, which there's nothing here to baptize you with, but could do that, I would not have a ministry of reconciliation because that wouldn't reconcile you or restore you to favor with God. The only thing that restores you to favor with God is the death of His Son. Nothing else. His Son is the full payment for your sins. Total payment. You know, it's amazing. Imagine this scenario. You're in Walmart. That's not hard to imagine, but you're in Walmart. I know you're thinking, well, what's so strange about that? So you buy a bunch of stuff. You got your basket. You wheel it through. You're getting checked out. And so the bill comes to $78. So you reach in both your pockets and you pull out 78 rocks. Set them on there. Cashier goes, what's this for? Well, that's my payment. What do you mean your payment? Well, each rock represents a dollar. I got 78 of them. Well, sir, this store doesn't trade our goods for rocks. We don't exchange that here. What we exchange and use is the currency of the U.S. dollar. So you got to have a dollar. 78 of them to be precise. The fact of the matter is they would never accept that form of payment. Here's the deal. For your sins, there's only one form of payment that God accepts, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand? You can't go to Him and go, well, God, I know I'm a sinner. Here's all my works. Boom, and plop it down before Him and expect Him to grab all of your works and give you eternal life. He's not going to do it. Christ paid the price in full for all of mankind by His sinless, precious, priceless blood that he paid it for. So we can't do anything and present it to God in exchange for everlasting life. The payment for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, Christ made the payment over here. So, since he made the payment, he's given the gift over here of eternal life. Coming out of Christmas, most of us receive gifts unless you've been bad, according to the song. If that was true, we'd all have a lot of money because we're all bad and you wouldn't get anything. But the most precious gift to be given to anyone is a gift of eternal life. And it's right there for you. All you have to do is receive it. It's been done. It's a work that's accomplished. You just receive it within yourself. You know, people struggle with that. Let me tell you something. Donald, I appreciate your study this morning. Donald talked about, and I hate to take your thing and bring it up here, but it's good. How he, since he was a little boy, always believed that Jesus Christ came as a child. We just had the holidays. He grew up as a carpenter. He hung on the cross. He was buried. He was raised again. We have Easter. Ta-da! Always believed that. That never made him saved. You know what you have to see in this time that we're living pertaining to yourself? A need. If you don't see a need for salvation, you'll never trust in Jesus Christ. You'll know about him. We have events that describe it and tell about it. Oh, you were born in a Christian nation. But you've got to see your need. And it's not till you see your need till you'll trust. And that's what I did in 1980. I identified what Donald was saying. I knew all those things. But I saw that I had a need to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work here, knowing that it was sufficient for all of my sins. And I said, if I'm going to go to heaven, it's based on my faith in Jesus Christ. If I go to hell because I put my faith in Christ, God lied. So none of us have any hope. God's not man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He didn't lie to you. He promised everlasting life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Trust in him and be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.